Welcome to Renew Devotionals. In this time with God and His Word today, we'll be studying the books of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Before beginning, take a few moments to center your heart. Ask God to give you faith, wisdom, and humility as you hear and respond to His Word. Our scripture today comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 12 through 13.
And may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people, just as we also do for you, so that He may establish your hearts without blame in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints.
What we hope for shapes what we live for. If you're hoping for a successful career, you work hard in school or at your job. If you're hoping for deeper friendships, you spend time meeting people and building relationships. So how does our hope in Christ impact how we live? Central to the messages of 1st and 2nd Thessalonians is the theme of hope and its present implications. Paul previously led a group of people to faith in the city of Thessalonica. But shortly thereafter, the Christ followers found themselves facing persecution. Paul himself had to flee the city to escape violence. And so he wrote to the Thessalonians to reestablish contact and impart strength. He first praises the Christians for continuing to flourish in their trials. And then he challenges them to keep going. I know things are hard right now, Paul communicates. But there's a reason you can press on faithfully. Christ will return. He will bring justice on evil and oppression. And He will live with His people for eternity as He reigns in justice and peace. According to Paul, fixing one's hope on Jesus' return is the key to godly faithfulness, especially in hard circumstances. Grounding oneself in the certainty of Christ's return and glorious reign invigorates followers of Christ to press on. This won't last forever, and you will be delivered, Paul assures his reader. It is hope that compels Christians to live their lives in ways that honor God and anticipate His return. What might living by hope look like in practice? In these letters, Paul lays it out. It looks like committing oneself to holiness and sexual purity. Like responding to hostility with love and generosity. Like possessing peace among the members of your community and building each other up. Like living it responsibly and working hard. And like living in joyful connection to Christ. As 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. So what's the connection between this way of living and hope? Well, in the moment, choosing to disobey God might feel compelling. To give into sexual temptation. To not expend the energy on resolving a conflict with someone. To numb with entertainment or social media instead of dealing with our feelings in prayer. For the Thessalonians facing persecution, they were probably tempted to abandon their faith to escape the persecution or to find social acceptance. And so our hope, the promise of what is to come, puts our competing desires in perspective. Any present discomfort or sacrifice is nothing in comparison to the glory that is to come at Christ's return. Jesus will triumph over all the evil opposing His people. He will shower His people with praise and glory. We will hear the King of the world say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. C.S. Lewis calls the honor that we will receive from Christ a weight of glory. In his book on this topic, he discusses how the hope we have in God and his promises totally reorients us to the way we view our present reality. He says, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at sea. We are far too easily pleased. Paul's message urges us to look up and consider the beauty, the goodness, the magnificence of what we have in Christ and what he promises for his people. Our hope in Christ makes any competing desire suddenly look like making mud pies in a slum compared to a vacation at the sea. The implications of following Christ are great. But it's important to remember that the life of a Christian is not a burdened one. Believers are called to live a life holy and pleasing to God. But they're to do so resting upon the faithfulness of God to work this out through them. They're to rely on His power. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, Paul writes. Christians have the power of Christ within them, who himself suffered to the greatest extent imaginable, enduring rejection, hostility, and even death to secure salvation and establish his kingdom. Jesus knows what it is to suffer. And in our own suffering, we become even more intimately connected to him and his power. So reflect on your own life. Are there ways in which your faith has led you to suffer? To face social exclusion or mistreatment? To forego opportunities that would not glorify God? To expend costly energy and sacrificial love for someone? 1st and 2nd Thessalonians unite us with Christians across the ages who have suffered for Christ. And they remind us that we follow in the footsteps of our Savior. They lift our eyes from our circumstances and set our gaze on what is to come. Christ will return. He will bring justice upon evil and oppression. And he will live with his people for eternity as he reigns in justice and peace. We can take hope. So take a moment now to go to God and ask him to anchor you in the hope of Christ's return. Now, spend a few moments processing with God how this hope might shape your current living. As you listen to the worship song, praise God for giving us a hope and a glorious future.
For everyone who's hurting, wait on the Lord. Everyone who's broken, wait on the Lord. In your doubts, in your fears, God is near. In your sorrows, in your shame, cry. Give us a name.